Sex is an intricate combination of our identities, feelings, desires, and actions. And sometimes we have these working in perfect balance that we're able to project our desire for intimacy, and yet other times we can't. And in this fast-paced, ever-changing world where everything else is a priority, where everyone wants something done immediately, it is no wonder that self-care and libido and anything to do with our primal instincts gets pushed by the wayside. And so today's topic, I want to explore libido. But more specifically, I want to explore the lack of libido in women. But guys, don't despair. I'll be covering male libido in my next podcast. And I thought it was important that I separate the two. This is because unlike men, where their main sexual complaint is erectile dysfunction, women's biggest sexual problem is caused by a combination of both mental and physical factors, which are not likely to be cured by a single pill. Now, women's sexuality is complex, and whilst not everything can be corrected with diet, I do have some great suggestions that will help improve libido through high supplementation with minerals as well as herbs and some lifestyle changes. So let's dive in. Now, the desire for sex does fluctuate over the years. This is to be expected, right? So when we're in our late teens, right through to our 30s, our desire and our sex drive is quite high. In fact, it takes over us in some ways. But as we enter our 30s, 40s, and 50s, there are so many other priorities in our life. And with these priorities come health concerns, come medications, other things come into our life. And so intimacy is something that just sort of gets put on hold. Now, while it can be said that most men and women have differences and the different reasons for the libido change, we can sort of generalize and say that both sexes have highs and lows when it comes to intimacy based on major life changes. So here I'm talking about mood disorders, whether someone has anxiety or depression, whether or not you're on a medication that may prevent you from desiring intimacy. There's also surgeries or chronic illnesses, as well as deficiencies in the diet. Interestingly enough, a lack of libido can happen to women of any age. I believe there is some stigma attached, and the belief is that only menopausal women suffer from this lack of desire. But actually, no, it's at least 30% of all women aged between 18 to 60 years suffer from this lack of libido. And that's really interesting to me, because something that is so primal, and yet 30% of women are not enjoying it, don't have the headspace for it, don't know how to start it again, or whatever it is, 30% of women are suffering from this. And I thought we should dive in and find out what are some of these causes. The first cause is a physical one. And by this, I'm referring to whether or not a woman has a medical disease, a chronic disease, even acute, whether they've undergone surgery, medications. So for example, those that are on high blood pressure medication or are on antidepressants, of course, these type of medications are going to affect their libido. This affects the body in a physical way. There's lifestyle habits, fatigue. Now, I'm not talking about fatigue where you're a new parent and you've just brought a baby into the world and you're exhausted and you don't have time for intimacy. Actually, that's really normal, to be expected. But by the time your baby's about 6 to 8 months old, that desire does come back. And that's mainly because the hormones have settled. Now, if you're on one extreme, it could be straight away your desire comes back. And for others, it can be up to you a year. But that's kind of normal to expect. Another physical cause is pain. Now, with pain, I believe it's important that I mention sex can be painful for two reasons. One reason is that there is not enough lubrication. So if you are not well lubricated, it is important to get your hands on a product that can assist with that. And there's so many available out in the marketplace, but my suggestion here is to always go for a product that is completely free of harsh chemicals. And the reason is lubricants are designed to be used in the female and male genitalia region. And this area is really quite vascular, and the membranes are really thin. So there is a potential for chemicals to cross the skin and enter the bloodstream. And I always recommend people go for a good quality water-based lubricant that is free of nasty chemicals. And if you're after a really good one, I do have one available from my website at vickysolaritis.com. And if you click on the store section, you'll find one there. But a lot of health food stores stock them as well. Just try to go for one that has low amount of nasties. However, in the case where you are relaxed and you're well lubricated, if sex is still painful, then it could be due to something more, and it's always best to talk to your doctor. Now, there are so many reasons why this could happen, but extreme cases include endometriosis, pelvic inflammatory disease, or an infection. So please make sure this is investigated, because once you have that checked out by your doctor and treatment can begin, you can go back to enjoying intimacy with your partner. Now let's explore the hormonal causes. Levels of our sex hormones, such as testosterone, and yes, believe it or not, women do produce this even though it's in small amounts. So testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone, they all naturally start to dip as we move through the decades. And these hormones play a pivotal role not only in desire, but arousal and orgasm. And the most common type of hormonal change that I think we can all agree that does affect libido is pregnancy and breastfeeding. Now, some women are not impacted and they continue to enjoy intimacy right through their pregnancy and through breastfeeding. And yet others are not so lucky in that way. So tired, there is a new life that's been brought into the world. They're giving all their attention to this child, which is completely natural. In fact, that's the way humans were designed. A new person has come in and the focus goes to that child. However, this is only short term. And like I mentioned before, between 6 to 12 months, those hormones start to settle and we can start to reintroduce intimacy into our life, so long as we're not suffering from something like postnatal depression. And if you are, you must seek help. But these hormones do start to settle. The next major change that happens in women is menopause. But now menopause is a little bit tricky because it's a lot longer term. It's not going to just be for 6 to 12 months. It's a much longer period. And menopause can cause physical and emotional change in a woman. It really does act like a double-edged sword. Some symptoms like anxiety and depression and difficulty sleeping, well, they'll affect the way a woman feels. So it'll affect her emotionally. But then there's other side effects like the thinning of the hair, the weight gain. These will affect a woman physically and she will not feel good about herself. There is that potential where she will not feel good and not want to be intimate with her partner. And another really interesting statistic was that up to 87% of postmenopausal women were affected with a decline in libido. And this is mainly because of this drop in estrogen that happens around the age of 50 to 55. Now, this decreased level of estrogen does reduce the blood flow to the vagina. This in turn causes the tissues of the vagina and the labia to become thinner. And as this happens, they become less sensitive to sexual stimulation. But also there is a decreased amount of blood flow to that area. And if there's less blood flow and less stimulation, then there is going to be less lubrication because the brain cannot identify that there is stimulus taking place. So sex becomes more painful and uncomfortable, which brings me back to ensuring that you are well lubricated. Get your hands on a really good lubricant. So how can supplements help? Well, believe it or not, there are so many supplements that are out there. They are available. When I was doing the research for this piece, I went on to a lot of medical journals and I went online to Google Scholar and I was reading, and believe it or not, there was so much information, but mainly targeted at men. There was quite a bit for women as well, but really there was so much for men and I was just blown away. And I thought to myself, I wonder if it's because the people doing the research are men with erectile dysfunction or performance issues. I'm not sure, but that's what came to mind. Anyway, back to this. So yes, there are a lot of supplements that can help. There is hormone therapy, and that's available through your doctor or your gynecologist. Hormone therapy was really, really popular once upon a time. I remember in the 80s and 90s, it was, you know, exploded. But it does come with its own set of risks for future health problems. And I'm really against putting too much chemicals in my body or on my body. I'm not a big fan. But if you can weigh the risks and you're happy to take whatever it is to help you get through, then that's fine and you're totally entitled to do what you want. Now, with the internet and Google, a lot of women are able to find solutions that are more natural. And for a list of great products I have on my website, if you click on VickySolaritis.com and go to the women's health section, there's quite a lot there that is for not just for libido, but also for menopause, anxiety, and depression. And these are all supplements that have been proven to work. So anything that I have on my website, a lot of research has gone into making sure that these products work. The type of herbs that work really well are black cohosh, red clover, soy. But when it comes to soy, you really do need to speak to your doctor because not every woman will reap the benefits with soy products. So just check with your healthcare practitioner before deciding that you're going to go and eat a lot of soy products and a lot of soy foods. Now, we'll discuss the type of herbs later on at the end of this podcast. For now, though, I'm going to jump right into the psychological causes of libido change. Psychological causes such as stress have a huge impact on our libido. In fact, on every aspect of our life, work, financial, or even family stress. Those stresses, that one of them, or all of them being high, will affect the way that we want to do things in our life and the way we prioritize things in our life. And like I mentioned before, being intimate sort of goes way down the list because the psyche to get in that headspace for a woman to get to that point where she knows she's going to be intimate, it's not just a switch that you turn on, it is a process that she needs to go through. And so stress downplays the desire for intimacy. Another interesting thing with stress is stress hormones like cortisol, when they get really high, they fatigue us in the end. And this fatigue then makes us even more lacking the desire and intimacy. What am I trying to say? It sounds really easy to just turn the stress switch off, but it's not. And that is just the way of our life at the moment. So I believe people need to find a way to release this stress tension. I know that some people like to get massages, other people like to exercise, some people like to cook. Whatever your passion is, doing something that helps you deal with that stress, like finding a hobby, will work wonders. Psychologically, poor body image and low self-esteem affects the way a woman desires sex. There is no doubt. And unfortunately, this world is obsessed with image. And I am dumbfounded just how obsessed people are. It's all about what are people wearing? How does such and such look? What are those shoes? How's that hair? I mean, why are we even caring? And I look at the TV and the ads on the billboards and the ads in the magazines, and I'm horrified for the future. And I'm unsure who to blame. Is it the marketing people? Is it the television network? Is it the poor suckers that are in, you know, starring in these shows? And I can't mention their names, but they drive me up the wall. But they're producing a whole set of problems for future generations with their poor body image and low self-esteem. Another psychological cause is a history of sexual abuse or a negative association with sex. And really, if this is the case, you must speak to a therapist. I don't believe there's much else you can do. Speaking to your partner and speaking to a therapist is the best remedy for this. I also touched briefly on anxiety and depression, and I do have some great supplements that have been clinically proven to work, and they have been tested and trialed, and I'll discuss them at the end of this podcast. The final aspect that affects libido is the relationship that they have with their partner. Now, actually, it's not just women, it's also men. There may be a need to feel emotionally secure and loved in order to be close to their partner. And a strong relationship that prioritizes intimacy does help to drive libido. And I know this is going to sound so clinical. Don't mean it to sound clinical, but sometimes you have to just plan it in the diary of when you're going to be intimate. That may be once a week, once every 2 weeks, 3 times a week, however it works for you and your partner, but putting that time aside so that it gives you enough time to prepare mentally, to prepare physically, whatever you need to do to get ready for that moment when you are intimate with your partner. And sometimes I believe that we need to understand that every person is different. So for some women, there is a need for them to eat a lovely meal, to have a chat with their partner. Maybe it's to watch a movie and eat some popcorn. It could be a box of chocolates and a little bit of wine. But there needs to be some sort of ritual that goes into enjoying the intimacy. And then, believe it or not, psychologically, not only does this prepare your mind, but the mind then prepares the body and says, right, now we need to get the lubrication happening. Now we need to have our receptors heightened so we enjoy every touch and every kiss and every moment. So it's putting that in the diary, ensuring that there is a dedicated time and day for when you start to become intimate. However, unresolved conflicts, poor communication, trust issues, and a lack of connection, they negate this. And so through the week, through the day, it's important to speak with each other and check in with how you're going. And I know there are some people that some couples, they ring each other like 6-7 times a day. And it's so cute. I think it's really good. Not everyone has that opportunity, and so it's not as easy. But a text, hey, how are you going? I thought of you today. To help with relationship issues, a lot of research suggests that your lifestyle, so healthy habits like eating a balanced diet, working out regularly, getting enough rest, these all influence your mood as well as your overall health. But what they found was people who spend time on themselves have more time for others. Now, this is a generalization. I understand this, and I expect I'm going to get a lot of backlash. Women do tend to spend a lot of time worrying about everybody else. But sometimes that focus needs to be put on yourself. And that might be 20 minutes a day where you sit in the sun and you read a book, or you go for a walk, or you listen to your favorite music. So spending time on yourself will mean you'll be able to spend better time with others. Now we're going to move into what I recommend to patients when they come in with a shift in libido. So I have some really great techniques and great nutritionals that I recommend for these people, because I know they work. They've been tested to work, they've been trialed, and they have a wonderful effect. But I want to make something clear. This is not a 1 week wonder. All right. So these things need to be taken for about 4 to 6 weeks before you start to see any benefit. It is different to a medication that you would get prescribed from your doctor, where the effect could be, 2 weeks later. With herbs and nutritionals, it is about 6 weeks to get the effect. So don't be disheartened if you're starting to take my advice and things don't happen or progress as quickly as you hope. You just need to give it a bit of time. All right, with that said, let's dive into managing anxiety when it comes to especially the hormonal shift in women, so when they suffer from irritability, as well as some psychological causes. Now, in a previous podcast, I discussed general anxiety disorder, and I suggested, make sure you get enough sleep, that you exercise, even get a hobby. But of course, speaking to a therapist, these make a profound difference to the way that you manage your anxiety. But on top of that, food plays a very important role when it comes to this. So the first and the most researched one is omega-3 fatty acids. Omega-3 fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, sardines, and tuna. There is so much research that has gone into how omega-3 helps to improve mental health. It's important to keep the omega-6 down and the omega-3 high. So you want to reduce the amount of omega-6 in your diet, and that's the olive oils, the sunflower oils, the commercially available ones that we cook with, for example, and increase the amount of fish oil that we consume. And this really doesn't mean you have to go and buy fish oil. You can just consume fish 3 times a week, but just make sure they're good quality, wild caught oily fish. It's not going to work with flake from the fish and chip shop, I promise you. Now, it's important to understand that with omega-3s and fish, particularly fish oil. If you're going to go and buy fish oil, then you need to understand that there's different types of fish oils in the market. And I've actually done a YouTube clip on this, so if you're really keen to learn more about fish oils, check out my YouTube channel. But in short, I believe everyone should be on omega-3, just quietly. There are two types of fatty acids in a fish oil. There's an EPA component and a DHA component. So if you're currently taking a fish oil, you can go and grab your bottle, have a look on the back, and you'll see EPA and DHA, and it'll have some quantity. It might be like 400, 200, 600, 300. You know, every company has its own different type of formulation. The EPA component is for inflammation. All right, so people that have got arthritis, or they've got eczema, or they've got psoriasis, they've got dry skin, that is an EPA that works really well. DHA in the fish helps regulate neurotransmitters and reduce inflammation. It is the DHA component that is going to help with anxiety and mood disorders. Now, it works so profoundly that inmates in prison are given this in their food to help reduce the instance of violence and aggression. That's how powerful fish oil is. And I believe that pretty soon fish oil is going to be something that you can get by script only, because it's so powerful. So that's omega-3 fatty acids. Let's look at the next one, which is selenium. Selenium is a mineral that helps to reduce inflammation, and inflammation is often heightened when someone has anxiety. So foods that have this are Brazil nuts, almonds, walnuts, and mushrooms. Unless you have a nut allergy, you'll need to consume this in mushrooms, but I still don't believe there's enough in our food to warrant eating so many mushrooms. It's not going to work like that. You could probably have like a handful of Brazil nuts a day and get some component of selenium, but if you have got anxiety and depression, you need quite a high dose. So what I suggest, if you are already taking a multivitamin, look on the back and see if you can see selenium. If you are already taking a multivitamin, see if you can see selenium in the list of ingredients. If you can, that's great. If you can't, be sure to buy one that has selenium in there, or get your hands on a selenium nutritional, which you can buy separately. You just go to the health food store and say, I'm after selenium. There is some toxicity issues, so you can't have so much every day, but you do want to take quite a bit in the initial stages to just help taper off this anxiety and depression. The next nutritional is vitamin D, and my gosh, I remember studying vitamin D how many years ago, and it wasn't even a topic of discussion with any of the doctors. No one even regarded it, but we all knew that vitamin D played a fundamental role in the way the thyroid functions, in our mood, with our bones. We all knew it. So we ensured that we went out every day in the sun and we got our dose of vitamin D in the early morning and later on in the day. Now, vitamin D is like hot to trot. Everyone's talking about vitamin D. The supplementation that is required is about 2000 IU a day in a healthy person. Of course, if you're anxious, you will need to take a higher dose. At the moment, there is no toxicity research or study that's gone into it. They haven't done that much to say, well, if you take 5,000 a day, it's going to be a problem. My recommendation is everyone who has anxiety and depression, depending on the level, you would take about 5,000 a day for the first month, and then you drop that dose down. But vitamin D greatly improves depression and anxiety. It improves seasonal disorder. And if you don't want to take it in a supplement, then I would recommend to eat it in the form of fish, eggs, beef, cheese, and some dairy. Vitamin D will instantly make you happier, and I can say this for a fact. I lost my mother 2 years ago, and I was really down, and I just happened to have a thyroid concern, and my specialist suggested I take vitamin D at a high dose. And I said, you know what, I'm surprised I didn't think of that myself. So I took vitamin D. I took 10,000 IU a day for 3 weeks, and I couldn't believe that huge impact it had on my well-being. Now, I'm not suggesting go out and have 10,000 IU. You do need to speak to your healthcare practitioner before you start high dosing yourself. But I'm just giving you some tips. Consider vitamin D. The next item that I want to discuss is serotonin. And this is really difficult for me to talk about because it can be interpreted in a different way. Now, you can't really just eat foods that are rich in serotonin. It actually doesn't work like that because serotonin is manufactured from 5-HTP, which is created from tryptophan. And tryptophan is an amino acid. And the foods that are high in tryptophan are eggs, cheese, pineapples, tofu, fish, nuts, red meat. I mean, anything that is an amino acid will pretty much have tryptophan. But you need to have high doses because by the time tryptophan gets converted to 5-HTP and by the time 5-HTP gets converted to serotonin, like you lose quite a bit. In fact, from serotonin comes melatonin. And melatonin is the hormone that makes you feel relaxed and sleepy, right? Gets you ready for sleep. So I can say to you, yes, eat a lot of protein, protein-rich foods, blah, blah, blah. However, if you're suffering from anxiety and depression, it doesn't work that way because tryptophan is absorbed ideally when it's consumed with a carbohydrate-rich meal. So all these people that are not eating carbs and they're cranky or they're not feeling that good, I wonder if it has anything to do with the fact that tryptophan isn't being absorbed because of the carbohydrate, the lack of carbohydrate content in their food. It's something to consider. I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there. I'm not a fad lover of, you know, just eating protein and no carbs. I like to eat everything, but I do fast 1 to 2 days a week where I don't eat as much. So my calorie restriction is active for 1 to 2 days a week, but then the remainder of the week I'll eat everything and I combine my food really well. So let's get back to serotonin. Serotonin is used to transmit messages between our nerve cells, okay? It's active in our gut, it's active in our blood, and it helps with constricting smooth muscles. It contributes to well-being and happiness. It's, like I said, a precursor for melatonin, so it helps to regulate our body's sleep and wake cycles. So this usually kicks in about 4 p.m. every day, but for some reason, we humans have evolved not to let that happen. So having that slump at 4 p.m., which some people start to dive right about 3 or 4, that's normal. That's actually good. That means melatonin is kicking in. Everyone's trying to deny this and have a cup of coffee and then have a Mars bar. And it's like, hang on, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not going to work. Your body naturally wants to start to unwind. But, you know, we work till 5 or 6 or 7, whatever it is, we work till late. And our bodies don't switch off till about 10 p.m. in realistic terms. So we are sort of mucking around with our hormones, which is such a shame. We've completely lost our identities as human beings. But back to serotonin. I keep digressing. Sorry. Serotonin is an important chemical neurotransmitter in the body, and it helps to regulate social behavior, our appetite, our digestion, sleep, memory, as well as our desire for sex. Now, this is really a lot of research that I've read about our sexual desires and serotonin. There's some that believe too much of it will make you feel loved or want to give love, and not enough of it will just want you to have really fast and hard sex. I'm not sure if I completely believe that. I do know, however, that when you take a drug like ecstasy or LSD, what that does is that frees up a lot of serotonin in your body and you do feel that happy love vibe. So I guess a lot of serotonin does make you feel quite loved up. I'm not so sure about a lack of it making you just wanting to have hard and fast sex. Actually, I think it creates more aggression rather than wanting sex. I don't know if that's entirely true. Maybe it is. But low levels of serotonin does mean that you have a bad mood, you're tired, you're depressed, and you have poor memory. It can also make you want to crave really sweet foods. It'll give you low self-esteem. And like I said, the aggression kicks in. So some people that suffer from anxiety and depression, when they go to the doctor may prescribe an SSRI, which is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, which means that that just frees up more serotonin in the body so that you don't feel so depressed. It makes you feel good again, just like what LSD and ecstasy do. Mind you, I'm not endorsing those drugs. Please don't think that I am. But it's pretty much the same sort of effect, but probably to a lot lesser degree. However, the long-term effects of this has been shown to cause a change in libido, which is interesting. So what do I suggest? If you are on an SSRI, you suffer from a libido change, you must tell your doctor, because they can prescribe something else. And you can talk to them about a different type of medication, or you can ask them to alter the dosage. But there is no chance I would suggest consuming a tryptophan-rich diet. If you are not on an SSRI, then yes, you can start to look at introducing tryptophan supplements into your diet. And I do have a powder, a pure tryptophan powder available from my website. And that's under mood and anxiety on my store. And that powder really does, because it's so pure, small doses required, and you'll need to take it every day. Like I said, it's not going to happen just, you know, overnight. It needs to have a ongoing effect. Now, the foods that help with increasing serotonin in the body, I mentioned carbohydrates have that effect, and also so do fermented products, because there is a lot of, there's a large link between the gut and the way that the gut functions, as well as the absorption of tryptophan. So yes, you need to consume a diet that is rich in carbohydrates as well. So let's say you take this tryptophan powder, I would recommend taking it with some form of carbohydrate. I'm not talking a refined carbohydrate, I'm talking like a piece of fruit or some vegetables, or in a protein shake that has got some carbohydrates in it, right? There is also a link between the gut and fermented products. So yogurt, or anything in fact that is high in lactobacillus and bifidobacteria, they have a profound effect on the way that tryptophan is absorbed and serotonin is therefore manufactured. And it is that bifidobacteria and lactobacillus in the gut that helps to promote more serotonin production. Incredible, mind-blowing. So what do I suggest? If it was me and I had anxiety, I would definitely go on vitamin D, without a doubt. I would change my multivitamin to include selenium of a high dose. I would absolutely sit in the sunshine. I would take omega-3 fish oils. And so if you're taking a non-concentrated form of fish oil, so just a natural triglyceride, if you're taking just that, then I would suggest 3 capsules a day. If you're taking a potentized version, 1 to 2 a day is enough. But fish oil, you must take with food. If you don't take it with food, it's not going to have any effect. It'll just make you feel really queasy. So I take my fish oil, and I would take, if I wasn't on an SSRI, I would take tryptophan and ensure my gut is working properly. Have a little bit of yogurt, 2 tablespoons of yogurt after dinner, or a little bit of kefir on top of some muesli as dessert. You get the idea. I mean, I prefer food over anything else, but in this one instance, I take a fish oil and a vitamin D supplement. While I'm talking about fish oil, I better quickly say this. Please don't buy the cheap and nasty shit that's sitting at the front of the health food store. And I'm sorry, I just swore there, but it really gets on my nerves. That is like the worst of the worst. If you're going to buy fish oil, just think, would you get the oil of a fish, pour it in a cup and sit it on a shelf for 3 months and then go ahead and drink it? No. So why would you buy fish oil capsules sitting in the bargain bin at some health food store or pharmacy? I just don't understand. If you're going to buy fish oil, buy good quality ones that are kept in the fridge. Preferably the fish that is captured in the northern part of the world and not from the southern part of the world or off Chile or any other countries. I much prefer the ones that are from the Nordic countries. Their fish is a lot cleaner. And there's a lot of stuff that goes into producing fish oil, right? How long is it between the time where they catch the fish, put it on the ship, and then store it in a nice cold environment, and then take it to the factory, and then squeeze the juice out of it? Then they distill the oil to make it clean, and then they encapsulate it. How long is that process? Is that process 2 days, or is that process 2 months? Yeah, you see? So you don't want to do more harm, you want to do more good. Buy good quality fish oil. My favorite ones are Nordic Naturals, Carlson's, and I think that's all that you can find in Australia that I really like, that are retail anyway. There are practitioner-only ones, but you'll need to see your healthcare practitioner to get those ones. Okay, so that wraps it up for general anxiety and depression. So they're the supplements that I recommend. Now let's move on to the supplements for hormonal changes. And this is not hormonal changes in the terms of menopause, because they're totally different types of herbs and supplements that I recommend. This is specifically just for libido. The supplements to consider are maca, and you can get maca in the form of a powder, just add it to your smoothie. Really, this is increasing the amount of free serotonin in the body as well. That's what I love. It just frees up more of it to be available. And it does have some plant steroids, so it does help with the estrogen levels to boost them a little bit. And this effect lasts for at least 21 days, and it does improve sexual performance in women. So maca is a good nutritional and a good herb to get into your body. Tribulus, a lot of tribulus research has been done on men, and in fact, with the one that I found for women in a recent study, there was 100 women, and 96 of them found that within 4 weeks of tribulus supplementation, okay, so it helped to increase their testosterone levels, but it helped improve their sexual desire, because it does help to bring their testosterone levels up. So tribulus is an excellent herb to use. Very well known for men, not so well known for women, but that doesn't mean we can't take it. So if your desire for sex isn't there, tribulus is one to consider. Ginkgo, traditionally ginkgo is used for mental alertness and memory recall and sharpness of the brain. But the way ginkgo works is that it increases peripheral blood flow. So it increases blood flow to the brain, but it also improves the blood flow to the genitalia region. And this heightens the receptivity of the male and female genitalia, therefore making you enjoy the intimacy more. So ginkgo is a great herb to use. I suppose also the older we get, we should be taking ginkgo supplementation just to help with our memory as well. Ginseng. Traditionally, this is a herb used to help the body manage stress, but it does increase circulation, and therefore it helps to work or build a relationship between nitrous oxide and the smooth muscle. And believe it or not, after some time, this does help to increase estrogen receptor sensitivity, which sounds like a mouthful, but believe me, that's how it works. So ginseng, a great herb to use to increase estrogen receptor sensitivity. Logistically, very well together. Not all supplements available on the market will have those together, but I do have some really good ones from my website under the female health section. There are ones for menopause, there's one for anxiety. I mean, there's so many there. But you have to decide where your problem is. Is it that you are not able to feel aroused? Is it because, but the desire is there, or is it that the desire is not there? And depending on which one of those will determine which herb and which supplement you go for. Now, I've mentioned what to take, but I have to say what not to take at the same time. And this is going to be very hard to discuss, but you won't like it. It's alcohol. And look, I get it. Alcohol does sort of improve sexual excitement, right? It makes you feel, wow, amorous. But actually, it reduces sexual function. So why take it? And if you're going to have it, have a low amount of it. But anyway, Check out my website for more female supplements to help with libido. I have a wonderful range of herbs for women to improve sexual desire, as well as menopausal supplements, hot flushes, vaginal dryness. I have a water-based lubricant that's free of nasties. Check it out. And if there's anything else that you think you would like to discuss, put a request in on my website or follow me on Instagram, and I'll do my best to get in touch with everyone. I'm going to wrap it up. And here's a little song from the Foo Fighters. And if you're aware of what this song is about, you'll have a bit of a chuckle. But if you're not, you might want to Google. It's called All My Life. Until next time. Bye.